Get excited about the Word of God. Yes, okay, good. All right, so Word of God. One of the scriptures, one of the verses that really inspired me greatly when I was really young in the Lord, and it's a verse that still really inspires me, of course, today. It is Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 1. And there we learn that God calls us, but He doesn't just call us. God calls us by name. It is personal with Him. He knows us, and He is calling each one of us. He's calling you by name. Listen to what He said to the Israelites, to His people Israel. This is Isaiah 43, verse 1. This is in the Amplified Bible. But now, in spite of the past judgments for Israel's sins, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, remember that, Jacob, and this is Israel, Jacob and Israel, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, ransomed you by paying a price instead of leaving you captives. I have called you by your name, you are mine. He has called you by name because you are His. He says, I called you by name because you are mine. I get a picture when I see that. Jesus is calling you by name. He is looking at you and He's calling you by name. But I remember this video that I saw a few years ago. It was of a couple, they had a dog, and they were somewhere, and the dog is in the middle, and they're both standing by the dog. And then both of them went in opposite directions and left the dog sitting there in the middle. And then they both stood a distance from the dog, and they both called to the dog. And that poor dog was like, he didn't know which way to go. Well, I picture God has called you by name, and every day He is calling you. He's calling us by name. It's personal. It's intimate. He's calling us by name. But sometimes I think it's kind of like that vision that we always get in the cartoons where you have the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other. Well, instead of being that, it is God who is on one shoulder calling you by name, and on the other shoulder is the world calling you and trying to attract you. And so we're kind of sometimes like that dog that's stuck in the middle. We need to make sure that we are turning towards God who is calling our name. Don't turn away from the world. Turn to God who is calling us personally and intimately. Because that call of the world is going to be strong, and we don't even realize sometimes how it is calling us and it is drawing us. But this is why it's important for us to learn to hear His voice and to hear His personal call of you, calling you towards Him. Calling you because of His great love for you. Now that verse that we just looked at, that was a foreshadow of what God was going to do through His Son, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus has redeemed us. Jesus paid the price for our sins at the cost of His shed blood. And look, there is a growing spirit of apprehension, even fear. There's a growing spirit of apprehension that is out there in the world. And it's not just apprehension because of the things of the world. But if we are turned away from God when He calls us and we're listening to the world, that apprehension is going to come upon us. And that fear is going to come upon us. And it's not just the fear of the things that are changing. It's fear of sickness. It's fear of loss. It's fear of family things. There's a great deal of apprehension. And many people have a lot of fear in their hearts. But God said to Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. How much more true is that for you and I who are believers in Jesus Christ? He has redeemed us. Do not fear. You have nothing to fear. And the more we realize that God is calling us personally and intimately by name, the more we realize He's doing that on a daily basis, the more that should alleviate all of those fears that the world tries to place upon us. Jesus is calling you by name. He's calling you by name personally, and this is revealed to us by Jesus Himself. Jesus as the Good Shepherd, who tells us this in John chapter 10. This is John chapter 10, verses 2 through 4. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. They're in the pen, and He is going to call them by name and lead them out of the pen and lead them out. The shepherd leads the sheep out on a daily basis so that they can eat, so that they can drink, so they can have all the things that are required, and they can do it in safety. He leads them out. And when He brings out His own sheep, He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Jesus, the good shepherd, is calling you by name. And as his sheep, you hear his voice. We've spent 6 weeks talking about this. As his sheep, you hear his voice. And he is calling us, and he is saying, come, come, come with me. Come, and I will take you into the day that I have prepared for you. And if we will heed that call and look to him as he's calling us and turn away from the world, if we will heed that call, he takes us into all the things he has prepared for us for that day. He takes us into all those good things, into the daily fields of safety and sustenance. Now, if you remember, about a year ago, it was at the beginning of last year, we spent a lot of time going through Psalm 23. And Psalm 23 starts off, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He causes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters. And we love that image that is built up to us. But remember, we looked at this last year, we realized that if you were a Jew that was hearing that psalm when David gave that psalm, that would have a whole different imagery for you. Because your experience would not be what we experience. We think of the great fields of green and some of the great lush places that we have and beautiful waters. Go look in Israel. For the most part, that's not there. And where the shepherds are, there's not a lot of lush greenery. There are spots and patches of green. And it's the shepherd's job to lead the sheep to those places where they can eat, where there is sustenance. And then to places where there's water. And to keep them safe and to keep them secure. So it's always moving, but the sheep have to be able to listen and hear the voice of the shepherd. Otherwise, they're not going to eat and they're not going to be safe. Same thing for us. He's calling us by name. He wants to take us into the day, and he has prepared good things for us every single day. He wants to lead us into the day and into all those good things, but we have to make sure that we are listening to hear his call, because he is calling you by name personally. He's calling you by name, personally and intimately. Now, if we go back and think about the things that we've been talking about over the last 6 weeks, one of the things that we learned is when God called Samuel, he called Samuel by name, called him by name. We saw this in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 6. Then the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And then right after this, Eli instructed Samuel, and Eli said to Samuel, go back and lie down. In other words, go back to where you're supposed to be. He said, go back and lie down, and if the Lord calls again, this is what you must say. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. And Samuel did just that, and Samuel positioned himself to hear the voice of the Lord, as we've looked at over all these past weeks. Now, here's exactly how it says it. This is 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse number 10. Now, the Lord came, and he stood, and he called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel answered, speak, for your servant hears. Now, how many times over the last 6 weeks have we looked at that verse? I mean, well over a dozen times we've gone and looked at that verse. Have you ever stopped to ask yourself, why did God call Samuel by name twice? Why Samuel, Samuel? There's a lot of times in the Bible that God calls people by name. But I can only find 7 times in the Bible where God called somebody by name twice. Only 7 times. In the Old Covenant, he called Abraham, Abraham, Abraham. He called Jacob. He called Moses. And he called Samuel. Called them by name twice, just like that. In the New Testament, we see that he did it with Martha. He did it with Simon, who became Peter. And he did it with Saul, who became Paul. He did the same thing by repeating their name twice, only 7 times in the Bible. What is the significance of calling someone by name and using that name twice? What's the significance of that? Well, there is a Jewish rabbi and philosopher from the last century, and he actually addressed this, and he had some very interesting observations to make about this. And it's even more interesting when we approach what he suggests, but we approach it with a new covenant understanding. With a new covenant understanding of the blood of Jesus Christ, the new covenant in his blood. It's a great starting point for us, but we can build upon that. So his name is Rabbi J.P. Soloveitchik. J.B. Soloveitchik. J.B. Soloveitchik said this. He summarized all of it by saying this. He said, in reality, there are two yous. There is the you that is here in this world, and there is also the you that is you, the potential. It is the you that has the potential to become everything that you can be in the glory of God. There's the you in this world, and there's the you that is the potential that you can become. Two different yous on who you are. Now, when you stop and consider that we are the temples of the Holy Spirit, there's a whole lot more revelation that comes to that. Because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. The glory of God dwells within us. So the potential that is within you is unlimited. The potential that He has for you is beyond what you had thought or even anticipated in your own heart. Because there's two yous. So think of it this way. There's two parts to who you are. That's what he's saying. But I would just change it a little bit from a new covenant perspective. And I would say that, yep, there's three parts to who you are, spirit, soul, and body. But there's two realities. So there's three parts to who you are, but two realities. You are spirit, you are soul, you are body. But there's two realities, that is the spiritual and that is the physical. So your body, that is part of this physical realm. Your spirit, which is His spirit in you, is connected to the spiritual realm. Your soul, which is your mind, your thoughts, your personality, it is your will. It's the unique creation that is you. Well, that works and operates here in this natural realm, but even when we depart from this life, when these bodies no longer keep us here in this, hold us here in this physical realm, your soul, your mind, your thoughts, the unique creation of you, that will go on and that will live forever in eternity as well. So we are physical beings living in a physical world, but of greater importance, we are spiritual beings who will live eternally with Jesus Christ. These physical bodies, they tie us to this physical, natural world. But your spirit, your soul, that will live eternally with Jesus Christ. Because you've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. There's two yous. It's three parts, but there's two parts to who you are. Now, in the Old Covenant, God was calling people to Himself who would serve Him. So He's calling people like Abraham. Abraham, Abraham. He's calling people like Jacob, like Moses, and like Samuel. And all of these individuals, they're flawed individuals, just like you and I. They're flawed individuals, but they are living lives that are dedicated to God. They are willing to serve God and obey Him according to His word. They are willing to be what He is calling them to be. So God is calling them. God, He is calling them, and He's calling them by name twice. He's calling them by name twice because He knows who they are. He knows them, but He also knows what they can be in Him. So He's calling them by name twice. He's calling them first out of this world, and then He's calling them into their full potential, all that they can be. Jesus is calling you. He is calling you out of this world. He is calling who you are. He called, God called all of those individuals. He called them as they were, but He called them knowing what they could be. Jesus is calling you because He knows who you are. He is calling who you are, but He is calling you in your full potential. Now, under the new covenant in Jesus' blood, once we accepted the sacrificial work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, our spirits, which were dead, were then made alive in Jesus Christ. And so now we are the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and He is calling us every single day. We're the righteousness of Jesus, and He is calling us. And we are listening. We need to listen and hear as He calls us. He is calling you because He is calling you by two names. He's calling you by your name twice. Because first of all, He is calling you out of this world, but then He is calling you into your fullness, your full potential in the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you, you have not yet reached your full potential in the Holy Spirit. Because, as we always say, there's so much more. He is calling you from the world, and He's calling you into your full potential in the Holy Spirit. And he knows exactly what that full potential is. And he wants us to operate and walk in that full potential, everything that he has for us. He is calling us today, and he is calling you to be all that you can be in him. Do you remember those old Army recruiting slogans for the U.S. Army? Be all you can be in the U.S. Army. The U.S. Army stole that from God. God is the one who is saying, be all that you can be in me. And so he is calling you twice. He is calling you so that you can be everything that you are supposed to be in Jesus Christ. He is calling you to be that full potential of what you have in him. There's always something more, and he is recruiting those who will listen and hear his call and will serve him. The question is, are we willing to listen and answer that call? Because he wants each one of us to reach that full potential that we have in him. Now, the first three people that he called by name twice, Abraham, Jacob, and Moses, they all answered. If you go back and look, their response was exactly the same. All three of them said the exact same thing. One phrase, they all said it. God calls them by name twice, and they all said, here I am. And you can see that all three of these men, there was a little bit of hesitancy to move, but they said, here I am. But Samuel, he answers different. Samuel gives a response that is different, and it's an example to you and I today. It's an example for you and I who have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. Samuel, did I say Samson? I said it right, okay. Samuel gives us that great example. Samuel's the one who said, speak, Lord, your servant hears. What he's essentially saying is, it's not just here I am, Lord. He's saying, here I am ready to serve you, and I'm ready to become all that I can be in you. So let me emphasize this point by just saying this. God is calling you by name. And when God calls you by name twice, he is calling out the person that you are. He is calling out the complete creation of you. He's calling out the person that you are. But when he calls you by name the second time, he is calling out the person that he sees you can be and that he knows you can be in him. He is calling you by name, and he is calling the fullness of you into the fullness of the kingdom of God. Selah. Just pause and think about that. He's calling the fullness of you, spirit, soul, and body, the complete creation, new covenant creation in you. He is calling the fullness of you into the fullness of the kingdom of God. What's the fullness of the kingdom of God? That'll take too long, but let me just say it this way. If you look at Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul, in speaking to the Ephesians, is talking about Jesus, and he says that Jesus is the fullness. He talks about the fullness of Jesus who is filled with the all in all. Jesus is the fullness of every victory. Jesus is the fullness of all the glory. Jesus is the fullness of all and all. Paul says that to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1. But we often miss this. If you just go two chapters later in that same letter, Paul says in chapter 3 that he's talking about you and I. And he's saying that we may be filled with the fullness of Jesus, who is the all in all. Jesus calls you by name daily. And he's calling you by name twice because he wants to call the fullness of you into the fullness of the kingdom of God. Amen? So it's important for us to also remember, as we've been looking at the last couple of weeks, one of the things we've seen time and time again is that our communication with God needs to be interactive. So when we say, speak, Lord, your servant hears, when we are actively pursuing him, when we are actively seeking him and calling to him, when we are actively doing that, the Bible tells us that he is near to us. You actively pursue him, seek him, and he is near to you. Psalm 145, verse number 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. All who call upon him sincerely and in truth. Now, let's consider this old covenant truth that was just revealed to us. And then let's add to that what we know about Jesus in the new covenant. And specifically, let's look at what we learn about Jesus in John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's there for the Passover. And right after Jesus overturns the tables of the money changers, we read this. This is John chapter 2. It's verses 23 through 25. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed in his name when they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them, because he knew all men, and he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. How serious are we in our pursuit of Jesus Christ? How serious are we when we call out to him? How serious are we when we say, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears"? Because this verse is revealing to us that there were those who witnessed the miracles of Jesus, and they believed in the name of Jesus. There's a lot of people today, there's a lot of followers of Christ who say the same thing, who would repeat those very words. They believe in the name of Jesus. But the Bible makes it clear that Jesus did not commit himself to all of them. Why? Well, the word commit in that verse, in verse number 24, the word that you see commit in verse number 24, that word is the exact same Greek word that is in verse number 23 that we see as believed, many believed. Commit is the same Greek word as believed. That means that there were those in Jerusalem, there were those who saw Jesus, who heard Jesus, there were those who believed in Jesus, but Jesus didn't believe in them. Or more aptly, Jesus did not believe in their faith in him, because he knew what was in their hearts, and he would not commit himself to them. Now, with that in mind, let's go back and look at Psalm 145 again, verse number 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him sincerely and in truth. When I'm calling upon Jesus, when I'm calling upon the Lord, when I'm saying, "Speak, Lord, your servant hears," or whatever way that I approach him or I call him, when I call upon the Lord and I'm seeking him and I'm calling upon him with sincerity and truth, or am I like those others? Am I just calling upon him for the miracles that I see? Am I just calling upon him for the things that I see he can do for me? Am I calling upon him because he is worthy? Am I calling upon him because I want to be with him? Am I calling upon him because of his glory and because he is deserving of my attention and my praise? Am I calling on him in sincerity and in truth? Or am I just calling upon him because of the things that he can do for me? And remember, Jesus did not commit himself to those who did not believe fully in him. He didn't commit himself to them. In essence, in other words, those people who didn't fully commit themselves to Jesus, those people who didn't fully believe in him, they should not have expected to hear their names called twice. Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus wasn't calling them. Jesus is calling all people to himself. He is drawing all men to himself. He's calling everyone. But he's only recruiting those that he knows he can trust their hearts. We need to make sure that we are listening to hear his call and that we are answering that call and inviting him and speaking to him, that we are pursuing him with that believer's heart, truly believing, truly out of sincerity and truth, and out of love. If we will do that, he's recruiting us, and he will make us all that we can be in him. Because this is what he desires for us. It's what he has set aside for us. Now, everything that I just said about Jesus, and Jesus not being committed to those who were not committed to him, those who were not fully believing in him, all of that comes from John chapter 2. But if we really want to go a little bit deeper in understanding the importance of Jesus calling you by name, and that's at the heart of our whole thing. It's where we started, Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 1. He calls us by name. He said, "You are mine." He calls you by name. If we really want to get a deeper understanding of the power and the importance of Jesus calling you by name, Well, let's just go back one chapter, in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, there's a part of that chapter where we read about Jesus and his call of Nathanael, one of Jesus' disciples. Now, here's how it reads. This is John chapter 1, verses 45 through 49. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." So here's what's revealed to us by the calling of Nathanael. And remember, Jesus knows our hearts. He knows if I am seeking him with passion, with zeal, or if I'm just seeking him for the things he can do for me. Now, it's important for us to notice that when Jesus called Nathanael, he didn't call Nathanael by Nathanael's name, but he did call him by a name. Because Jesus identified Nathanael based upon what he saw in Nathanael's heart, what he knew was in Nathanael. And so he said, "Behold, an Israelite." Let me read those two last two verses again. This is 47, 48, 49. That's three. I can count. Verse number 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." People always wonder, what was it that happened under that fig tree that led to Nathanael realizing that Jesus was not just a man, but he was the Son of God. He was the King of Israel. He was the King of Kings. Wonder, what was it that he saw under that tree? Well, we can know what Jesus saw under that tree beginning, it starts with this. It starts with realizing and recognizing the name that Jesus used when he called Nathanael to himself. Recognize the name that he used when he called Nathanael. Because remember, when Jesus was doing his ministry, remember so many of his followers, he would change their names. He would give them a new name based upon what he saw in their hearts, what he knew was inside of them. Simon is the best example. He changed his name from Simon to Peter, or he changed his name to Peter the Rock. Well, likewise, this is revealing. This is so revealing that Jesus is calling Nathanael to himself, not by the name Nathanael, but it's revealing that Jesus calls Nathanael to himself by calling him an Israelite. Because Israelite, that is a name. It's Israel. He's saying that you are an Israelite. You are, he is tying him to Israel. It's a name. Israel is a name that God gave to Jacob in the Old Testament when God changed Jacob's name. God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Because when Jacob was no longer the man that he had been, a supplanter, after Jacob had wrestled with God and struggled with God, Jacob then came to the place where he was ready to be the man that God intended for him and needed him to be. And that's when God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. Well, here comes Jesus. Jesus sees Nathanael coming towards him. Jesus is seeing that Nathanael, he saw the same struggle. He saw the struggle that Nathanael had with God under that fig tree. He saw that struggle, and he knew that Nathanael was now, just like Jacob had been, Nathanael was now ready to become the man of God that Jesus was going to call him to be. He was now ready to be what Jesus intended for him to be. He was ready to answer that call that Jesus had. That name Israel, when Jesus said, "Behold, an Israelite," or Israel, that name Israel, just by the very name means to struggle with God. That's what it means. Struggle with God. So you can see that Jesus saw, he saw, in being God, he saw Nathanael struggling with God under that fig tree, and then just like Jacob, coming to the place where he relented and became the man that God called him to be. But Israel also means this. It means struggle with God. But if you take Israel and you take the fullness of what that name means, it means he retains God. He retains God. It is one who has struggled with God, but it is one who now retains God. It means to be a receptacle, one who is able to receive God and one who is able to retain God. So Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he saw the struggle that Nathanael had gone through. He saw Nathanael struggling and wrestling with God, and he saw the conclusion of it as well. And that's what Nathanael knew was happening, because Nathanael thought no one else knew about that. That struggle was just between he and God. And now here Jesus is saying that. And then Jesus said in response to that, Jesus said when he saw Nathanael coming, he said, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no deceit." That again is just tying it right back to Jacob, so we can understand what was taking place in Nathanael, so we can understand what was happening underneath that fig tree. Because Jacob was a deceiver. The name Jacob means supplanter, deceiver. He was a deceiver before he became Israel. And now Jesus is looking at Nathanael coming, and he is saying there is no deceit in that man. He's saying, I've seen the change. He's saying to Nathanael, I have seen the change that has taken place in you. I saw you wrestling. I saw you struggling. I know where you are. Now let's go back to Jacob again, because this all relates back. That's what it would have spoken to Nathanael. Let's go back to Jacob one more time, because Jacob, remember, Jacob is the one who had the opportunity to see the heavens open. He saw into eternity. He saw into the glory of glories. He saw into the heavens itself. Remember, it was shortly after he had deceived his brother Esau and his father Isaac. Shortly after that, Jacob had this experience at Bethel. This is Genesis chapter 28, verse number 12. Speaking of Jacob, "Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending on it." Jacob is the one who saw the heavens open. He saw that ladder. He saw the angels coming from heaven down to earth, and the angels going from earth back up to heaven. He saw heaven opened. He saw all of that. That is exactly what we see with Nathanael. What we just read right there, that ties directly to Nathanael. Because right after Jesus had spoken those words about being under the fig tree to Nathanael, and Nathanael's heart turned fully to Jesus Christ, once that happened, then Jesus made this promise to Nathanael. And it's a promise that sounds just like the experience that Jacob had. Let me read that to you again, what it said in Genesis with Jacob. "Then he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth, and its top reached to heaven. And there the angels of God were ascending and descending." Here's the promise that Jesus then makes to Nathanael. John chapter 1, verses 50 and 51. "Jesus answered and said to him, 'Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these.' And he said to him, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man.'" So you can just see how all of this ties together. Now, let me go back to Jacob one more time as we wrap this up. Jacob, years after he had this experience of seeing heaven open and seeing the ladder and the angels ascending and descending, years after that, Jacob comes back to Bethel one more time. And when he comes to Bethel this next time, that is when Jacob is wrestling with God. That's when Jacob is struggling with God. And after it is all said and done, Jacob names that place, and he gives the very spot where that wrestling took place, he names that very spot by a Hebrew name that means, "I have seen God face to face." And Jacob said, I now know I have seen God face to face. Well, that is exactly what Nathanael is experiencing as well. Because Nathanael is standing there seeing God face to face in the very person of Jesus Christ. So there's much more that I want to share with you about just call and the call of Jesus, being called by name. And there's more I want to share with you about Nathaniel, about Jacob. There's more about Peter. There's a whole lot more about being called by name. We'll do that next week. But let me just conclude with this, because this is the key point that I want you to take away from this morning. Jesus sees all the struggles that we have in life. He sees your struggle in your walk. He sees your struggles in day-to-day life. He even sees your struggle with Father God. He sees those things. And when we call upon him, when we reach out to him, when we pursue him, he calls you by name. And he is calling you out of the world and out of the struggles and the troubles of the world. He calls you out of the world and he calls you into your full potential in he himself, Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants. He's calling you by name so that you can reach your full potential in him. Jesus, we thank you and praise you that you do know us. I thank you that it's intimate and personal. I thank you that you call us each by name. And I thank you that as we listen, we will hear you calling us by name, and we'll hear you calling us by name twice, knowing that you are calling us just as we are right now today. You are calling us just as we are, but you are calling us into our full potential in you. We realize that. We understand that. We thank you and praise you for it. We just rejoice in who you are, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You be glorified in these lives and draw us closer to you. I thank you, Jesus. It's in your name. Amen.